I think the first place we're going to look today is Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Limber up your fingers, we're going to turn to several places this morning. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is the time of the year that we focus on saying thank you. May we learn something today that would build within us a thankful heart that would prevail through every day of our lives. We ask for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. What do you see? Was your first thought, there's something in the cup? Or was your first thought, the cup is not full? You know that old saying? What is that old saying? Is your cup half full or half empty? Some people in life see what they actually have and are content. Some people focus on what they don't have and are not content. A person who is content with what they have tends to be a thankful person. And a person who is frustrated because of their focus on what they don't have tends to be unthankful. An unthankful heart can lead to a lot of bad things. But a thankful heart can lead to a lot of blessings from God. I labeled my first point in this message, the ramifications of an unthankful heart. I looked that word ramifications up to see where it came from. I'm always interested in that kind of thing. And it comes from a Latin term that originally referred to branches that grow out of a stem. Well, it came to mean a situation where there is a certain thing a person does that triggers certain other things, whether the person intended those things or not. So, what are the branches that grow out of an unthankful heart? There are two places in the Bible that indicate something like that to us. First of these is here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, where it says, because that when they knew not God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but in place of thankfulness, they became vain in their imaginations. And if you're familiar with the rest of that text, their vain imaginations caused them to make all kinds of things up as alternatives to God. The other place is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And I'm convinced that this is a description of possibly the church and in the end times, which is not a very happy description of the church. Would you agree with me that there, in general, is a great deterioration in the church around the world? Yeah. Well, it says in verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and unthankful. Then it lists some other things in verses 3 and 4 and comes to verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Unthankful, right in the middle of all of this. What are the ramifications of an unthankful heart? Unthankfulness will never be an isolated problem. It will always lead to other bad behaviors. There are ramifications to an unthankful disposition. I was looking for an illustration, and I found a plant called the stinging nettle. Ever hear of that? Its leaves are soft. That sounds inviting, doesn't it? But the hairs on the leaves stick in the fingers if you touch the leaves, injecting chemicals into the skin that cause a severe burning sensation. Now, if you protect yourself against these hairs by wearing gloves, you should be fine. But there are ramifications for touching the leaves. God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, touch not the unclean thing, because there will be ramifications for touching the unclean thing. And a person with an unthankful heart has a tendency to touch unclean things and inevitably suffer the consequences. Well, that's enough of that. Let's talk about what we ought to be thankful for. And there will be ramifications from a thankful heart as well that are much, much better. We have lots of these. Would you go to Ephesians chapter 5? Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 3, he says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, some of the ramifications from an unthankful disposition. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but here's a big word. Might not be a lot of letters, but it's big in its concept. Rather. The word rather does not simply mean instead of. Rather means to have a stronger desire for. Instead of all of these things listed in verses 3 and 4, we should have a stronger desire for giving of thanks. That ought to be something that has a very strong urging within us. And as we have a strong desire to give God thanks, that can serve as a deterrent to some of the ramifications from having an unthankful heart. What would produce a strong desire in us to give thanks? Well, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, it says, and walk in love, as Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us. So first of all, Christ has loved us. And what is the effect of that? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. The word constraineth means to urge with irresistible power or with a power sufficient to produce an effect. The love of Christ urges us with a power so strong that we are compelled to respond. Why is the love of Christ so effective? Because of what that love consists of. It consists of his dying for us. It consists of his conquering death for us by rising again. It consists of his forgiving us for our sins. It consists of him granting us grace so that we could be born again. And it consists of him giving us eternal life and the hope of being with him forever. When we contrast that with what would have been without the love of Christ, there should be a strong desire in our hearts to be thankful. Psalm 97, verse 12. Psalm 97, verse 12. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. If it weren't for the fact that God is absolutely, unequivocally holy, there would be no standard in the universe for us to understand what purity is. Without such a standard, every man could do that which is right in his own eyes, leaving the world to be in total chaos. We should thank God for his holiness because it establishes a standard by which we can have a perception of what is good and bad and right and wrong. Psalm 119, verse 62. Psalm 119, verse 62. At midnight I will rise to give thanks. What time do you go to bed? Who goes to bed by 9 o'clock? Some of you, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Well, you're already up. The rest of you have to get up at midnight to do what? To say thank you to God for his righteous judgments. God is always right. He never makes a mistake. And that is something to be thankful for. Psalm 136, verse 2. Psalm 136, verse 2. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. What if God's mercy was only temporary? When you go to the store, do you ever check the expiration date on certain items? Did you know a car seat for a child has an expiration date? I didn't know that till I was looking up for things that had expiration dates. Come across a car seat for a child. So you want to make sure it's installed correctly and that it's not past its expiration date. The expiration date is usually printed on the bottom of the seat. The longevity of a car seat varies by manufacturer, date, and brand. For example, there's a couple of car seats that tend to expire after 6 to 10 years. I don't think the child's still going to be in it after that length of time. No wonder it expires. He's too big to sit in it. But shouldn't we be thankful but that there's no expiration date on the mercy of God? His mercy endureth forever. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What is our victory? It's victory over death. Notice what he says in verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can look death right in the face and not fear. Because when Jesus died and was buried, he rose again and conquered death for us. That's our victory. It says in verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you know how long that is? I've told you before. Anybody remember? 1/3 of a second. How long it takes for you to blink. 1/3 of a second. In one blink, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And that is something to be thankful for. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Not only do we have eternity guaranteed, we have the promise of victory on a daily basis. Somebody once said, life is so daily. We have today to live. You can't live tomorrow, today. You've already lived yesterday. Today is the day we live. What are we doing today? Today we can have victory. Remember what was in Matthew chapter 6? Don't worry about tomorrow because the things we have to deal with today are enough to deal with. That's not exactly how the verse says it, but it's basically what it says. But we can have victory today, no matter what it is we're dealing with today. We can have victory today because he has caused us to triumph in Christ always. So no matter how difficult things become in the circumstances of our lives, we can always have peace in our hearts. And no one can take that away from us. Second Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now, it doesn't specify in the text exactly what this unspeakable gift is. For something to be unspeakable, it's indescribable. It's something it's impossible to describe. Have you ever seen something so amazing and you want to tell somebody about it, but you can't think of how to describe it? It's so overwhelming. I think this is the way the grace of God is. It's the thing that's mentioned in verse 14 where it says, "And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." How do we describe the grace of God? It's multifaceted. It's very complex. It includes so many things. I try to envision it, and I've described it as a beautifully wrapped present, and inside are so many wonderful gifts. We're saved by the grace of God. We're justified freely by his grace. We're taught to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world by the grace of God. We're called into service by God's grace. By the grace of God, we have our conversation in this world. Truly, the grace of God is so complex and so amazing and so exceeding, it's very difficult to describe. But it's something to be thankful for. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things. How many things do you have? How many plates do you have in your cupboard? Is each one of them a thing? Absolutely. How many knives, forks, and spoons do you have? How many shoes? How many changes of clothing? How many books? How many Bibles do you have? How many chairs are in your house? How many windows and doors in your home? How many appliances? How many tools? How many pictures? And on we could go. And each one of those in each category is a thing. And he says, giving thanks always for all things. That'd be a lot of things to be thankful for when you really think about it. And then there is this over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Now in Ephesians 5:20, we just read, giving thanks always for all things. Now he says, in everything, give thanks. This is different. This is referring to every circumstance of life. When you give thanks for things, that's the things you have. But when you give thanks in things, that's talking about something different. My first semester in college, I worked on a maintenance crew for the college, and once in a while, I would go someplace with my foreman in his car. Every time we got in his car, and I learned every time, without exception, that he got into the driver's seat, he prayed and thanked God for his car and asked for safety. Every time. I was amazed at that. Every time. Do we thank God for every safe journey we ever take, long or short? Do we thank God for the events of each day? Do we thank him for each conversation we have with people? Do we thank him for the ability to see the beauty of his creation each and every day? Do we thank him for the ability to hear birds sing, to feel the wind blow, to enjoy the sounds of nature, the sounds of music? Do we thank him for every time we can be together with family or with friends or with neighbors? Do we thank him for the ability to go to a store and get the things we need? Do you see how it is to give thanks in everything? So many things we take for granted. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. Meet. To be partakers of the inheritance. What is our inheritance? Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's part of our inheritance. And there shall be no more death. That's part of our inheritance. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. How many of you are experiencing pain right now? Some of you are experiencing pain right now. Do you realize part of your inheritance in Jesus Christ is there will be no more pain? Wow. Chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Part of our inheritance will be to see that. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Part of our inheritance is to see those trees. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. All of that is part of our inheritance. Have you ever thanked God for what you will see in heaven? Revelation chapter 4, verse 2. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. There was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald, which is green. I think God likes green. He made a lot of green things here on the earth. And he has a green emerald rainbow around his throne. Verse 4, round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had them, each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I probably told you this before. But one day I was wondering what my wife was doing up in heaven. I thought about her being in that special place Jesus had prepared for her, John 14, 1-3. I thought about her seeing that river of water, clear as crystal. I thought about her seeing those trees with all those special fruits. I thought about her basking in the glorious light of God. And then it hit me. Not only all of that, but she's seen the throne of God. And she heard those beasts sing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. For her, it's no longer an inheritance, it's a reality. For us, it's still an inheritance. That's part of our inheritance. And one of the amazing things is that God has made us meet, he has made us suitable, he has made us able to be able to inherit and see and experience all of that. And that is something to be thankful for. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Are we thankful for each other? We're a family. We're not just an organization. We're not just a place where we meet to go through some ritual service. We're here as a family to be for each other, to help each other, to love each other. And we ought to be thankful for each other. But then 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter, I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, Thank God for our president. Thank God for our governor. Thank God for our township supervisors. Thank God for our policemen. Thank God for our firemen. Thank God for our doctors, for our nurses, for our dentists. Thank God for people who own businesses so that we can go to their stores and shop and get the things we need or get things fixed that are broken. Thank God for our mechanics. Thank God for people who fix computers. Some of us are really thankful for that, right? Thank God for people who can fix refrigerators or stoves or furnaces or lawnmowers. Thank God for people who can mow lawns. Thank God for all people because they're his creation. Hebrews 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks continually to his name. Never stop being thankful. Don't pause for any length of time. May we have enough breath to spare each day to thank God for something. So now, how do you see your life? Do you see what's missing? Or do you see what's there? Maybe our lives aren't full. But we ought to be thankful for what we have. Because it's enough. It's more than enough. It's so far beyond what we deserve. Do you see how many things we have to be thankful for? Can we be a thankful people every day? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. It's the word you gave us. We ought to use it a lot. Thank you for all the things we have to be thankful for all the things we possess, for all the things we experience, for all the things we can see, for all the things we can hear, for all the things we can know, for all the things we can do, and for all the hope we have for what you have prepared for us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.